Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have each one out today to worship the Lord. And we're going to be in 3 John this morning. The title of the lesson is "The One Who Does Good Is of God." And 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are about knowing you have eternal life. It's about difficulties going on in the church. In 3rd John, there's wickedness there by one party that's affecting everybody else. And if you're being accused and you're being condemned, you need to know what makes you right and whether you're right or not. And that's what 3 John's about. It's about three men, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And you notice I started out with Diotrephes in verses 9 to 11. I started in the middle to get the context. Diotrephes is the promoter of evil in the church. In verse 9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. The tension's there already. We're talking about an apostle representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got a fellow there who wants to be first in the church. He's conceited. It's not enough for Christ to be head of the church. He wants to be head of this church. And sometimes in the church, there's nothing you can do about people. I mean, you begin to feel the whole church is guilty because one person is pushing it the wrong way. He refuses to acknowledge what the apostles teaches because he wants to dictate. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37-38, Paul says, in thinking that the church at Corinth is not going to accept what he's writing to them, says, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, they have the ability to do miraculous things, to speak in tongues mainly, and if anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things I write to you are the Lord's commandments. And then he says in 38, and if anyone does not recognize this, he's not recognized. So Diotrephes is in trouble. I mean, you want to challenge the whole system, the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ? You're arrogant, you're conceited, and you don't know what you're doing. Verse 10, for this reason, John says, if I come, I'll call attention to his deeds, which he does. I mean, James and John, you know, sons of thunder. We'll call down fire from heaven on them if you want us to, Lord. You can imagine this is affecting the whole church, this fellow. There's innocent people in the church trying to do good, and they're being hindered. And he begins to explain that in verse 10, which he does. I'll call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. I mean, John hasn't done him any wrong. John hasn't even been there. And you're accusing him falsely? And you've got to lie to accuse somebody who's not guilty. You've got to bring up Trump charges so they look guilty so you can rule. Well, so, hey, we're going to call attention to that. And not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren. And we're talking about missionaries or traveling preachers. They didn't have cars back then. So, I mean, you're walking along on foot in hot sun. There's robbers and dangers everywhere. And you're just trying to preach the truth. This guy won't receive them. I mean, they might have walked 100 miles to get to here. He's not going to help them a bit. And it continued on. Neither does he receive the brethren. And he forbids those who desire to do so. So he tells the rest of the church, you can't help them either. And that's a conflict. The one who does good is of God. And the guys are preaching the truth. And you're not going to help them? And this guy won't let you help them? I mean, there's a conflict that starts to stir within the person who wants to do good. And finally, if they do help, in verse 10, and puts them out of the church. So if you help a preacher of the truth, we're going to throw you out. There's nothing nobody can do about that in the church. This is just pure evil. So, you know, verse 11, what do you do? And here's your verse that applies in a lot of situations. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In the church, there's always people right and wrong at the same time. You know, and sometimes they're moving around, they're changing positions. Now you got the middle. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. A lot of the churches, they're guilty. They're dead. But he said, well, some are worthy. The rest. Well, so God's making distinction within the church. So when a fellow like Diotrephes is doing evil, preventing you to do good, what do you do? verse 11. Do not imitate what's evil, number one. Number two, but what is good? You just keep on doing good. You keep following the people that are doing good. You know they're doing right. And you don't follow that fellow, and you're okay. That's his point. The last part of verse 11 is our sermon title. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. It's black and white. Verse 2nd, 3rd John, there ain't no mincing of words. The one doing good, and they consistently do good, they're not perfect. But they continue to do good no matter what. What's the source of that? It has to be God. Now, the one is doing evil, they ain't ever seen God. God has no influence in their life, or they wouldn't be doing that. So we need to call it like it is. But you imitate what's good, and you don't imitate what's evil, and you're okay. Well, that's the evil side. That's the context of 3 John. In verses 1 through 6, Gaius is going to stand out, especially in this environment. In verses 1 and 2, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. Now, a lot of people would like that verse to apply to them. But Gaius didn't get there, get that kind of praise and that kind of prayer on his behalf by not doing good beyond and above what's required. He says, the elder to the beloved Gaius. I mean, you got an apostle who walked with Jesus, who leaned on Jesus' breast, who Peter had to ask, what's he talking about? Because John was close, and he's calling Gaius beloved. Something Gaius is doing is really endearing, and that applies to you and me. And he said, whom I love in truth. So Gaius is walking in truth, and John loves him. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. I mean, financially and physically. Lots of times, you get sickly. And you need, and here you got an apostle praying that this is his wish from God Almighty for this individual, as your soul prospers. The Lord's going to answer your prayers according to how your soul's prospering. You know, some of us can expect nothing, some of us can expect a lot, but what? That's a good incentive for others to keep doing good. You got Diotrephes here doing evil and wickedness, but you got this other guy in the church too named Gaius. And he's continuing to do good in the middle of all that to such an extreme that is noted by an apostle of Jesus Christ and is spoken well of and prayed for that he continues to be blessed. Verse 3, for I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is how you're walking in truth. I was very glad. I mean, his heart is touched by somebody in this church walking in truth, despite the pressure to keep him from walking in truth. And the only issue, goodness could be done a thousand different ways. This is they're refusing to help preachers as they travel along from town to town. And Gaius, he's walking in truth. And everybody telling him when they meet John about Gaius. And so he's not letting Diotrephes affect him one bit. I mean, if you're a Christian, what? Goodness me, it matters. And you're going to continue to do good. And there's nobody in the church going to stop you from doing good. You know, you can do good. Nobody's holding you back from doing good. That's fruit of the Spirit. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in truth, the truth. First four verses, he expressing, you know, the love of the people who are in the truth, who are living their lives in the truth. He was very glad. He has no greater joy. What about Jesus? I mean, Paul and John and Peter have the same mind that God has. And they see great value in people who walk in the truth, who do good. And they're glad. And they preach to them that. Verse 5, beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. Let me stop there. When you help the cause of Christ, that's a faithful act. That's part of the will of God. So you ought to know that, despite what this fellow says. And then he says at the end of 5, and especially when they're strangers. I mean, they don't have no place to stay. There's no hotel. There's a manger over here. You sleep with the horses and the cows and the sheep. But I mean, a preacher of the gospel coming along, he's dirty, he's tired, he's hot, he's hungry. And boy, anything you do, what? Especially for strangers, because they need it more. They're in need. And so that's a faithful thing to do when you continue to do good and help the cause. Verse 6, and they bear witness to your love before the church. I mean, they go to the next town. What are they talking about? The people back at the past city. The love they had for God. And they expressed it in helping me along the way. And it probably was what? A meal? Some water to wash off their dirty feet? I mean, a little drink? Wasn't a lot. But it was needed. And they're going to go off and tell people about your love for God. I mean, is that a good thing? Well, sure. Other people testify on your behalf that you're for the Lord, you're for His will. Verse 6, and they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Oh, it's doing well. You're really doing good. Especially if you send them on the way in a manner worthy of God, since they represent God. And so, helping the brethren, helping the cause of Christ, doing good, it's a faithful thing. It's a good thing to do. And the one who does good is of God. And so you got Diotrephes and you got Gaius. And verse 7, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. I mean, they're following Christ and they're depending on Christ to provide for them. I mean, the world, you can't depend on the world. I mean, you start preaching the truth and the world's going to dump you real quick. Your support, you're going over to Africa and you got half the support from the world and half from the church members. I wouldn't feel real secure. Where if you're dependent on God and God's dependent on the members of the church and there's really a need, it can get done. Verse 8, therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. We ought to do that. I mean, when we help the preaching of the gospel, we're fellow workers, we're co-workers. We're not there, but we're with them. You know, we're giving what our part we can to help, and so it makes us co-workers with the truth. And then there's in chapter verse 12, rather, Demetrius. Not a lot said about Demetrius, but Demetrius has got testimony from everybody under the sun. And the truth itself. I mean, whatever Demetrius is, there's some guys in the middle of this church where this guy wants to be first, and he's throwing people out of the church if they don't do it his way, and you got guys sticking with the Lord. Well, you got to take a stand with goodness and righteousness and truth. You want to be saved in the end? There's no salvation outside the truth. John 14, 6. I mean, the disciple, we don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going. We might figure out the way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, that simplified that. Jesus is everything. He is the truth. You and I can't be saved without the truth, without being partners with it. The truth matters to Jesus. Here's a couple of guys here. It matters too. And, you know, they get a good testimony. Remember the parable of the talents. I mean, well done, good and faithful servant. We're seeing praise all over this book for Gaius. And Demetrius, same thing. Nothing said about what he's done, but it stands out. Verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. I mean, you can't find a person that won't stand up and say, this fellow is a good person, he does good. Secondly, in verse 12, and from the truth itself. I mean, you got the truth being preached, and his deeds, you compare them, and they're identical. And the truth's going to stand up and say, yay, man, that's right. And so everybody gives good witness to him and the truth. And we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. So John and the people of John, hey, we're going to step in here too. We ain't letting them get ahead of us. We know the fella. He's a doer of good, and he loves the truth. And we bear witness too. You know, I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I just don't want to write a letter. I want to come there. He didn't say nothing about Diotrephes. We're going to deal with Diotrephes. But he's talking to the faithful, to the people that are doing good, to the righteous. Well, I want to see you face to face. The apostle. What do you think Jesus is thinking about people that do good and do good against all odds? Despite what influence the devil tries to throw at them not to do good. What do you think he wants to see them face to face too? And we ought to be wanting to see Jesus face to face too. You know, look at Matthew chapter 10. A couple of verses that I thought about Jesus. And there's in the end, you want Jesus to be able to acknowledge you. You're going to need his testimony. You hear all the jokes about coming to the pearly gates and Peter standing there and whether you get in or not. That's not the way it's going to work. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I'll also confess him before my Father's in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I'll also deny him before my Father's in heaven. I mean, people have to take a stand. I mean, everybody's going to confess Jesus. Jesus is going to stand up and confess them before God that he knows them. You know, Peter said, I don't know the man. You know, he denied him three times. Well, Jesus can do that too. If you're going to do evil, if you're going to deny him, he'll deny you. I never knew you, you know. You know, and you look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, talking about Hades and the end of the age. And he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So whatever you do, good or bad, we know what the tree is. You know, and so your fruit that you produce, the fruit of the Spirit, you know. You look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, is that a lot of things, these things, the fruit of the Spirit, are not natural to most of us. They all have some kind of natural tendencies that are wrong. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I mean, love, joy, and peace. When you start thinking of other people first, there's this change that takes place in your spirit for the better. I mean, he's very glad for Gaius and them. I mean, this is a wonderful thing. I mean, love, seeing love against all odds. You have joy. You begin to have peace. You quit fighting with other people. You start doing what's right and what? You get peace there too. But you get peace with God too when you're loving. And you get joy. And patience. Patience is hard to come by. It comes when you don't want. And everything in your body is saying do something irrational and probably bad. But patience is part of this fruit that shows what kind of tree you are. And how you can put up with some people. And rather than just speak your mind or rather do what's just, you give them a chance. I mean, has Jesus ever gave you a second chance? You know, have you ever been wrong? Other people had to put up with you. Sure. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Some people are weak in the church. But you know what? If they want to make it, the Spirit of God will give them faithfulness. They will get stronger. And as the years go by, what do they want? I mean, what kind of tree are they? Are they attached to the Spirit? Is that the source of their strength, their nutrients? Verse 23, gentleness, self-control. You know, gentleness. You know, a lot of times we don't think about being gentleness, unless that's our nature. You know, we can be harsh and mean and ornery and stubborn and a lot of things. But learn to be gentle or meek like Jesus. Jesus was a powerful individual. And he stood up against the whole nation and he faced death and hell or Hades. But what? There was a power, there was a self-control there. And temperance, that's what we need, because most of our problems are because what? We lack self-control. And so, what kind of tree are you? A tree that produces good or a tree that produces evil? I mean, what's the source there? You notice the end of verse 23? Against such things, there is no law. You can't go to hell for practicing any of these things. You'll make it with abundance. The one who does good is of God. And I mean, sometimes you have to be put in a situation where you got to take a stand, like Demetrius and Gaius. But hey, what are you going to do? Abandon the Lord? That's the other choice. Go with him? Go with wickedness? You can't do that. And you know what? That's appreciated. But look at 1 John 2. At the end of 1 John 2, talking about the second coming of the Lord and talking about doing good and knowing that you're of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now little children abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. I mean, if you abide in Jesus and the Lord comes, you won't run. You won't flee when the trumpet sounds. You'll know. You'll have a confidence in the middle of that. 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born to him. It starts with knowing what God is. If God's righteous, God's good, and that's your practice, then you're of God. Saul of Tarsus, before he became a Christian, oh, there wasn't a lot of goodness there. There was a lot of malice. There was a lot of murder in his heart because he thought those people were wrong, that he was right. Him and Diotrephes had a lot of qualities. But you know what? The Lord gave him a second chance to reevaluate his whole direction in life. Ananias came to him and said, why do you delay? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You got to know you got sins to get up and do it. Calling on his name. God makes a difference in people's lives. God can change the worst of people into better people. Lord can get them to heaven. And sometimes the church is forced into this evil world and they're told they're wrong when they're not wrong. Well, he said, I'll write 3 John. I'll write 1 John. We have verses to tell whether or not you're of God or not. The one that practices good and righteousness is of God. The one that doesn't is not of God. So what's our course? Need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing.
I'm going to change number 600. Call number 600.